First Timothy. Chapter 4. Verse 1. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from what? What would it mean to depart from the faith? They'd stop believing in God. Well, if you're not believing in God, then what are you believing in? Now, this departing is not a, it's not a quick thing, it's a gradual thing, okay? Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. In other words, they're listening to evil spirits and not the Holy Spirit. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They say one thing and do another. Having their conscience seared with the hot iron. What happens if you sear your skin with a hot iron? That part that's been seared is going to become numb. You won't be able to feel things in there because it's been seared. Now, when your conscience is seared, okay? This isn't my message today, but forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good. And go down to verse 6. For if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourish up in the words of faith, and of good doctrines. Everybody say good doctrine. Whereunto you have attained. Verse 7. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. You know, some discussions aren't going to matter a hill of beans about whether or not you get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, or return to Jesus. Amen? You don't need to get involved in those things. Refuse those things. And we have to pursue godliness, amen? So what do? When we see this happening to people, pray for them. Intercede for them. Stand in the gap, amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 9. We're living in great times. And not only in the natural is it a great time when the farmers are getting their heavy machinery, their combines, they're going through the fields, and they're gathering in the harvest. Amen? And it is harvest time. I believe it's harvest time in the spirit just as much as it's harvest time in the natural. And we have one named Jesus who is Lord of the harvest. Say it's harvest time. That means during harvest, we have a period of time to gather in the ripe fruit. Everybody, you know, and everybody has a part to play. Say, I'm involved in the harvest. And ask yourself, are you doing your part? We all have a part to play in the harvest. And we're going to be talking about this month how Jesus is Lord of the harvest. And he wants us to gather in the crop that is ripe. You know, I've never farmed. I helped my grandfather. You know, I told him I wanted to be a pilot. He said, you can come to the farm and you can pilot here and pilot there. Well, that wasn't quite the pilot that I was talking about. And here we see in Matthew chapter 9, and let's go to verse 32. And we're going to read to verse 38. As they went out, I want you to underline that phrase, as they went out. See, that's going to be very important in the harvest. You can't gather the harvest sitting right here. Amen? You've got to go out and gather. And we're going to talk about two roles of the harvest. There are going to be those that go into the field, and there are going to be those that pray and send the ones that are going. Amen? We need goers and senders together. Oh, and I want to let you know that today at 10 o'clock, Stephen Beverly Hoffman left for India. And they're going to be there for 5 months. So you want to keep them in your prayers. There are missionaries that we support. And they're empty nesters. And you know what they're doing as an empty nester? They're going on the mission field. Amen? They're goers. Now, all of us cannot necessarily go to India, but we can support the ones that are. Amen? And together, we're going to reap the same reward. So here he says, they went out. Behold, they brought to him, notice, people brought someone to Jesus. That's what our role is. Our role in the harvest is you need to bring people to Jesus. Well, how do you bring people to Jesus? You tell them what God has done for you, and you invite them to come with you. Amen? Then he says, they brought him to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. How many know that when you're possessed, you're dumb? Because the devil is dumb. And when the devil was cast out, someone say, praise the Lord. See, when you encounter a devil, you have the authority and the ability to cast the devil out. Even if you just got born again yesterday, you have the authority of Jesus to cast every devil out. Amen? Some of you may not believe that, but it's true anyway. You can say amen or oh me. Notice when the devil was cast out, the dumb spoke. So this person who was possessed by a devil, the devil was hindering him from speaking. Okay? Sometimes when people have a sickness, it's not always a physical thing. It could be a spiritual thing. Here in this case, this man couldn't speak. Maybe thought they had a speech impediment, but it was actually a devil preventing him from speaking. All right? And the multitudes marveled. How many? How many are in a multitude? That's a lot, a whole bunch of people. Saying it was never seen in Israel. Can you imagine that up to this point they never saw a devil cast out? They never saw someone get healed? Amazing. But the Pharisees said he casts out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Okay? Here Jesus now, he's going out, isn't he? He's going out to all the cities and villages. Okay? He would come to Palmyra. He would go to Anvil. He would go to Lebanon. He would go to Harrisburg. He would go to Campbelltown. And everywhere he went, he was preaching the gospel. Amen? Preaching the good news of the kingdom. Notice what he did. He went out teaching in their synagogues. So Jesus taught in their churches. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So he taught and he preached. We need both preachers and teachers. Amen? We need some people to inspire you with a proclamation. Then we need some people to teach you how to grow up. Amen? Are you here or have you gone home already? Come on, wake up. Come with me now. Notice he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There's one gospel. And it talks about the King Jesus. And healing every sickness and every disease. Where did he heal those sicknesses and diseases? Now you have to get among the people, right? See, harvest time is about getting among the people. Do you realize that some of you have a job because God needs a light in that place? God needs someone to let the glory of God shine through so that you can affect others. Because there are people there, I guarantee you, that do not know the Lord. All right? Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, now Jesus is looking over the large groups of people, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. How many sheep do you think in Palmyra have no shepherd? Jesus was weeping over this. He was moved by this. He was moved at the fact that people had no shepherd. Amen? And it was his compassion that moved him. And notice, when you're without a shepherd, you're going to faint and you're going to be scattered. It's important to have a shepherd. Amen? Then, verse 37, then he said unto his disciples. How many disciples are here this morning? If you're a disciple of the Lord, raise your hand and say amen. Amen. So he'd say, he's talking to me. Okay? He said, the harvest truly is plenteous. Say, the harvest is plenteous. There's not a lack of harvest. There's not a lack of people who need Jesus. There's not a lack of people who want to be saved and want to come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the problem? The problem is, but the laborers are few. There's not a whole lot of people that are willing to go into the harvest. There's not a whole lot of people that are willing to share their testimony. There's not a whole lot of people that are willing to pray for others. Maybe because they're bound by fear. Maybe they don't know what to say. But you know what? That's no excuse when you have the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's no excuse when you go to a Bible preaching and a Bible believing church. Amen? How many know that it is my job to feed the sheep? I'm going to give you the things that you can in turn give to others. Because that's what the gospel is all about. So the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But then here is the solution to this problem. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field. So if we are missing laborers, then we're not to complain about it. We're to pray about it. And we're to pray specifically to the Lord of the harvest, specifically that he would send laborers into the harvest field. Amen? And while we go over this series, God may be speaking to you. He may be speaking to your heart. He might want you to go, or he might want you to send. He might want you to pray. You know, if you're praying for the Lord of the harvest, you ought to be willing to go too, because the Lord may pick you. Amen? You know, Isaiah 1:19 said, if you're willing and obedient. You've got to be both. You've got to be willing and obedient. You can't just be willing. You've got to take your willingness a little bit further, and you've got to put it into action. I looked up the population of Palmyra. It was 7,326. We'll just say 7,300. 7,300 people in Palmyra. As far as I know, I went through the directory. I counted the churches. There are 23 churches in Palmyra. That means that if every church was reaching Palmyra, we should have about 317 people in every church. Now tell me, is the harvest plenteous? Are there more than enough people that need the gospel? But where we're lacking is in the laborers, the ones who are willing to go and to share and to pray for others. That's where we're lacking. Amen? But I believe God's going to turn that around, because we're going to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would turn this around. Amen? Now go with me to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to come back to Matthew 10 here, but let's go to Matthew 28 for a minute. Now this probably isn't going to be one of those messages that are going to make you shout and run around the building, but it's going to present you with a choice. Really, the call to action is to simply make yourself available to God. Amen? Because we have a part to play in this harvest. Matthew 28, and let's go to verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach who? All nations. Have we taught all nations? I don't know. I mean, the gospel is preached on television, on radio. People are going. But my point is, the harvest is plenteous. There's more than enough harvest to go around. Go to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Now, when you have God's kingdom being established, along with that are false doctrines, false religions, and false things that raise up. How many know that no one can come to the Father through Hinduism? No one can come to the Father through Islam. No one can come to the Father through Buddhism. No one can come to the Father through your own self. You've got to come to the Father only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. You've got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? And you might be the only Jesus that some people see, that some people hear. And I want to encourage you to think about the harvest. Think about the opportunities. Think about even our own family members who don't know the Lord. Well, if I tell them, they'll get mad at me. So what? They might get mad at you if you do and mad at you if you don't. So you might as well just tell them, amen. But the harvest is plenteous. Mark tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 24 tells us that repentance will be preached in his name to all the nations. Amen? Every nation, every tribe, and every tongue can benefit from the good news. They just need to hear it. Go with me to James chapter 5. You know what? The problem that we have most in the body of Christ is people just don't do the word. They don't practice the word. They allow carnality or other things to excuse them from doing what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what. There's no excuse for doing what God said. If you're a Christian who's come to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ought to start bearing some spiritual fruit. Amen? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, meekness. Against such there is no law. Do you think that Christians should start producing spiritual fruit? Then why aren't we? Why aren't Christians being led by the Spirit and being led by other things? James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. Let me tell you something. God is coming again. But why hasn't he come? He has great patience. He is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth are people. And you know what? People, Christians with a bad attitude can do more harm than good to the body of Christ. Because when people in the world look at a Christian with a bad attitude, that's going to tell them that all Christians are like that, but that's not true. You know what? It's about time that we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we walk in righteousness. Amen? That we allow the love of God to shed through our hearts. The mafia is not going to win the world. You know, those who rob banks aren't going to win the world. Whose responsibility is it to reach out to this world? Ours. Say, it's my responsibility. And the greatest way that you could reach out to others is simply let your light so shine before men. Let your good works, let your faith in Jesus Christ be seen. Let the love of God shine through your hearts. Amen? Walk in forgiveness just as the Lord has forgiven you. How long did the Lord have to wait for you to come into His family? How many opportunities did the Lord have to set up with the angels working behind the scenes? How many divine appointments have we had to accept Jesus Christ? And it took us a long time for some of us, didn't it? Some of us took years. But you know what? God exercised patience. He was waiting. He saw value in you. He was willing to wait for you. He saw you as a good investment. He said, I'm going to wait for you because you've got potential. You know, Jesus told Peter, one of his closest disciples, he came to him and he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And Jesus said, in that context, he said, when you return, strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew that Peter was going to depart. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. He spoke it out and Peter said, oh, I will never do that, Lord. Well, unfortunately, Peter, you did. But aren't you glad that Peter didn't stay there? He made his way back home. You know, the carrying out the gospel is about serving others. It's about putting others before you. Just like Jesus did. He put his ability to act like God. He put all of his majesty aside. And think about it now. He went from heaven to earth. He became poor so that through his poverty you might become rich. A divine exchange. Every one of us deserved to be punished. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to take your punishment on me. I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb. But, you know, he has great patience. He's waited a long time for some of us. Couldn't we extend that same grace to others? Amen? What do you do when you preach the gospel and they don't respond? You love them. You pray for them. Listen, everybody is responsible for their own choices. Every one of us, we make our own choices. All right? I can't choose for you. You can't choose for me. And when it's all said and done, we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to hold us accountable to the choices that we made. And he's going to say, heaven and earth has witnessed against you this day that I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. He said, I would that you choose life. But there are some people, for whatever reason, they want to choose death. They want to choose the curse. And you know what? God gives them that choice. When someone rejects you sharing the gospel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Jesus. Amen? It is not our job to convince people. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say go out and convince the world. He said go out and preach. Amen? Preach the gospel, the good news. The gospel is full of good news. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Well, before we go to 1 Corinthians, let's go to Matthew 10. How did Jesus send his disciples out? Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, I want you to know the first thing that God's going to do is he's going to call you to him. He's going to call you by your name. and he's going to give you an assignment. He's going to give you something that you're supposed to do on this earth. He's going to give you a way to reach people. He's going to tell you how to use the gifts, talents, and abilities that he's put in there. Amen? He's going to call you to himself. Are you listening for his call? So he called them to himself, and he gave them power. Isn't that awesome? When God calls you to himself, he's going to empower you. He's going to authorize you. Amen? Every one of you can become a deputy in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus himself can authorize and deputize you. And you will go in his authority, not yours. You're going to go in God's power, not yours. Can you say amen? I certainly couldn't get up here every week without God's power. It's important. But he's going to call you to himself, because before you can help others, you've got to have a relationship with the Lord yourself. How are you going to talk to men about Jesus if you don't talk to Jesus about men? And it doesn't matter if you're young or if you're not so young. Because John the Baptist was called in the womb. He was the only person filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. And his role was to introduce Jesus to the world. His role was to be the forerunner, to announce that the king is coming. He said, I, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Moses, you know, he started off as a baby who had to be born in hiding. Because there was a death issue, a death warrant issued by Pharaoh that all the young boys would be killed, but his mother and father saw potential in Moses, so they hid him. They did what they had to do until they couldn't hide him anymore. By faith, they put him in an ark in the Nile River. And they let the Nile River take him down. And it wasn't by coincidence that Pharaoh's daughter rescued him, pulled him out of the water. And he was grown up in Pharaoh's house. He was trained to be a prince of Egypt. But he had this innate desire on the inside of him to deliver people. And when he first tried to deliver people, he ended up killing another person. That was the wrong way. How many know God's got a better way? So God took Moses out of Egypt and he put him on the backside of the desert where no one could see him. Where no one knew him. He was in hiding, but he was in secret training. God said, I'm going to teach you how to lead, Moses, but you're going to lead sheep. So for 40 years, Moses was a shepherd who led sheep. But you know what? Now the time came when God called him to himself, and he saw the fiery bush. He saw the bush on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And that got Moses' attention, then God could speak to him. Sometimes God's got to get your attention. Maybe you've been sleeping. Maybe you haven't been walking with God like you should, and God will move heaven and earth to get your attention. He'll move heaven and earth to call yourself unto him. And Moses answered the call. God called him back into Egypt, the place where he fled. But he went this time, he went with God's power, not Moses' power. When he first tried to deliver people, it was in his own power. That's why he ended up killing someone. When we try to do things in our own strength, we're going to fail. Amen? You got to trust in the grace of God. You got to trust in his riches and power. So he gave them power against unclean spirits. Say, I have power over unclean spirits. To cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Did God give you that power? Yes, it is his power. He allows you to use it in his name. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But he has made you a representative. Why? Because you're a disciple. You're a follower. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is not a church attender. Oh, come on. Just because you attend church every week doesn't mean you're a disciple. A disciple is one who follows the Lord Jesus. A disciple is one who mirrors the one whom they're following in attitude, in faith. So Jesus gave his disciples this power, right? And he names them there. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Let me ask you this question. Have you went or were you sent? There's a difference. See, because if you've been sent, then you've got a place to come back to and report what God has done. Amen? How many know it's important to have a group of people that you can share your stories with, that can pray for you, that can hold you up, that can encourage you? Amen? Jesus sent them forth, commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." For this particular first mission that Jesus sent his disciples on, he wanted to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's a simple message. You know, let's just say I'm gonna go visit Les and Julie. I knock on their door, and I say, "Hey, my name's Doug. I'm from Victory Christian Fellowship. I want to let you know that the kingdom of God is at hand." They'd be like, "Well, what does that mean?" Well, let me tell you what that means. Amen? So he told them who to go to. He told them what to say. He told them what to do. Verse 8, heal the sick. Did he say heal the sick? Cleanse the leper. Did he say cleanse the leper? These are both physical diseases, and they could represent spiritual diseases. You know, someone who's in sin is sick. Are you there? Was this a suggestion or a command? Raise the dead. Well, you could raise the spiritual dead, couldn't you? You could also raise the physical dead. Why is it important to be able to raise the dead? Maybe they died before they got born again. Amen? You know, I remember the story of Smith Wigglesworth when his wife passed on, and he kind of took her body from the coffin, put it up against the wall, and spoke life back into her, said, "Come to your body." And she came and she said, "Smith, leave me alone. I want to go. I don't want to stay." She was enjoying heaven more. Cast out devils. Are we supposed to complain about devils? We're supposed to cast them out, right? But how many times have I heard, "Oh, the devil's giving me a hard time"? Why? You have the ability and the power to cast him out. Do you realize that as a born-again Christian who puts their faith in Jesus Christ, and especially those that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, the devil has no authority over you whatsoever? You have authority over him. What are you supposed to do with devils? Cast them out. Freely you have received, freely give. As the Lord has given you good things, you should be able to share that with others. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Say, the workman is worthy of his meat. How many feel like you're worthy of your paycheck? Well, a laborer is worthy of his hire, and when you're doing the Lord's work, you're supposed to trust God for him to take care of you. Amen? We're supposed to walk by what? And not by what? Oh, really? But how many people, they don't go and do what God says until they see the provision come in? God didn't say, wait till the provision comes in. He said, if I told you to go, go. You're supposed to obey the word, not obey your circumstances. See, I told you this wouldn't make you really shout, but... And in whatsoever city you go in, inquire who is worthy, and there abide. You're supposed to inquire of, you know, you should be with like-minded people. You know, there's something that occurs in precious like faith, or like precious faith. When you encounter someone who believes like you do, there's like a camaraderie. There is a union. There is, something to work with. This is all about faith. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Did you know that God's peace is precious? And God's peace is for all who believe. Amen? If someone doesn't want to help you preach the gospel, then guess what? They're not qualified to get the peace. Amen? But this is all about the harvest. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, I'm glad I have the month to talk about this, because we're going to be touching on different areas of the harvest. You don't want to miss when we talk about prayer, about how we can pray. I'm going to give you some specific things about how you can pray for the harvest. What things that you can actually say. We're going to go over that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll start with verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know, when you share your faith, you're going to encounter sinners, and I don't want you to be surprised that sinners sin. Amen? We all were sinners at one time. We're not, if you're born again, you're not a sinner anymore because you have a new nature. But when you were a sinner, you sinned, right? And you enjoyed it. You didn't care about the consequences, or you complained about the consequences when they came. So when we share with sinners, keep it simple, saint. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, saint. Why? Because they don't know what you know. You know, I'm not going to feed Josiah a piece of steak. Even though he's got some teeth that are pretty sharp, because the other day he was grabbing my ear and he bit my earlobe. Notice, Paul was restricted in what he could share because these people were carnal. They couldn't take what he was giving them. So if someone can't take what you're giving them, give them less. Amen? No. There you go. Paul went on to say, he said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. There's a reason. Now he's talking to people in the church. He's talking to the Corinthians. Notice, he could not speak unto them because of their carnality. There's going to be some Christians that are just so caught up in the flesh, in their senses, in their feelings, in their emotions, that you're going to have to, you're going to be limited as to what you can share with them. Come on. We're talking about the guy who wrote half the New Testament could not speak unto these people because they were carnal. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for here to you you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. There's going to be some people that just can't handle what you're wanting to give. Guess what? That's okay. You're not obligated to give them. You know, it's like the farmer. This preacher was doing preaching a service in a small country church. And it was kind of wintry out, and there was snow on the ground. The weather wasn't good. And so the preacher came to the church, and there was one man who showed up for the meeting. So the preacher said, well, praise God. He just went ahead and gave him the whole thing. And at the end, he got talking to this guy, and the guy said, well, preacher, when I go out into the field with a whole load of hay and only one cow shows up, he said, I don't give him the whole load. Notice the signs of carnality, verse 3. You are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not yet carnal and walk as men? Speaking of, they live their lives according to the natural. For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Listen, don't be going around saying you're of Doug. All right? If you're going to claim anybody, claim Jesus. Say, I'm a Jesus person. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed? In other words, you shouldn't magnify the minister by whom you believe. You should always magnify Jesus. Okay? Even as the Lord gave to every man, I have planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? Listen, as we go out into the harvest, sometimes you're going to plant. Sometimes you're going to water. But it's God who gives the increase, and whether you plant or whether you water, you get the same reward. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Listen, it's all about God. It's not about you. Say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Okay? Now, he that plants and he that waters are what? They're one. Verse 8. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Listen, if you're doing what God told you to do, then that's all you're responsible for. That's what God will reward you. But if you're not doing what God told you to do, then you're going to be rewarded according to that also. If God told you to do something and you didn't do it, that's rebellion. Uh-oh, that went over really big. If I'd have had a microphone in the crowd, you'd have heard a gulp. If the Lord tells you to do something, whether he tells you in his word or he speaks to you directly and you don't do it, that's rebellion. How many know that Moses didn't argue well when he was trying to get out of what the Lord wanted him to do? I want you to go to Egypt, Moses. Well, I really can't speak. Oh, that's okay. I've made your mouth. And if I made your mouth, I can fix it. Well, I'm just really not an eloquent speaker. I don't have the right words. Well, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He can be your spokesman. Well, then Moses said, you know, who am I? Maybe God has called you to do something, and you ask, who am I that you would ask such a thing? Listen, just be flattered that God wants you to do it. He made you. He's your Lord, so you got to do what he wants you to do. But there wasn't an excuse that Moses could give for not wanting to do what God told him to do. And if you read that story in Exodus, eventually God got angry. He got mad. It's like, you know, God was telling Moses that he could do something, and Moses was saying, no, you lie. It was like calling God a liar. When God says you can and you say you can't, you're making him out to be a liar. Because you can. And God wants to use you to gather in his harvest. Listen, this is a time when we have to have all hands on deck. When a Navy vessel is under attack, does the captain get over the microphone and say, well, if everybody feels like it, get to your battle stations? I hope not. If that's the case, it's going to be you sank my battleship. No, he gets over and he says, all hands on deck. Everybody has to get into their place because they have trained. They have exercised. They have practiced doing their part so everybody knows what place to get into and everybody knows what to do. Amen? Well, I'm calling you as your captain to get into your place. Whether it's one to go or it's one to pray or it's one to send, you let the Lord tell you. But I want to encourage you to start praying about what is your part. What does God want you to do? Aside from your regular living, let me tell you something. This life that you're living right now, it's going to pass away. And what you do in this life will not stand at the end unless you did it for the Lord. If you did it for yourself, if you did it for others, it's not going to stand in the end. It's going to burn up like wood, hay, and stubble. So I'm calling the action that I'm going to call you to today is next week, we're going to have a list. And if you feel like you want to pray, if you feel like, you know, God's called you to pray, I want you to put your name on the prayer list. But if you feel like you can be one to go and to share your faith, I want you to put your name on that list. And before we send anybody out, we're going to spend some time in prayer. Because we've got to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because he has the solution to men's problems. He knows where the harvest is. He knows how to reach them, and we got to call upon him. Amen? But I want you to know that Jesus is Lord of the harvest. He has great concern for the precious fruit of the earth. Jesus is concerned about people. He's concerned about how our lives affect people. He's concerned about, you know, do we really believe what we say we believe? That's really what it boils down to. See, Jesus came into my life as a young Catholic boy, going to a dead church. The church that I went to was dead, D-E-A-D, dead, dead on arrival. There was no life there. All that was there was the traditions of men. And we went to church every week. I even was an altar boy. I served in the church, but I didn't know who Jesus was until my sister, who kept consistently inviting me to church. Every week, she would say, you want to go to church with me? I'd say, no. She'd say, okay. You know what? Let people choose. Amen? Don't manipulate people. Just give them the opportunity to choose. That's all God wants us to do. Give them the opportunity to choose, then they're responsible for their choice. Young people, I was 12 when I came to know the Lord. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all in one shot. God knocked me to the floor, and I came up smiling and crying at the same time. What if my sister would have quit asking me to come to church? What if my sister would have just said, well, I don't know where Doug, I don't know what Doug's doing. He's never going to get born again. He's never going to see the light. Boy, that would have really helped. But you know what? She kept walking in love. Her faith was in the love of God, because God is love. She wouldn't leave the love of God. She kept asking, and she was nice about it. She smiled. And guess what? While she was asking, someone must have been praying for me. Because no one can come to the Lord unless they're drawn of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's got to draw you. He's got to pick you up from the mire. He's got to wake you up. He's got to bring you to the Father. I'm so glad that she wouldn't quit with me. Because if she'd have quit, I might not have been here today. Who knows where I would be? Let me tell you. You have a harvest field. Jesus is Lord of the harvest, and he wants to use you in his harvest field. He wants you to be a planter and to be a waterer, to be a goer and a sender. He needs some to go and some to stay by the stuff. He needs some people that know how to pray, know how to intercede, know how to get heaven on earth. Amen? I don't want someone that doesn't have results from their prayers. I want someone who knows how to get a hold of heaven and to bring heaven down, like Paul and Silas did when they were in prison. They knew how to bring heaven down. They brought it right into that prison cell. We encounter hurting people everywhere, every place. There is a great harvest right where we are, right here. And we have room at the inn. No one can knock on our door and say, "I'm sorry, but we don't have room." Listen, we are still accepting applications to the flock. Amen? Look at how many empty chairs that we have today. The harvest truly is plenteous. But who's going to bring people in? If we don't, who is going to? If we don't bring people in, who's going to? If we don't go out and get them, then the devil might get them. So I want to encourage you today. We want to reach the people of this area. Amen? And it's not because we don't want to just say, "Oh, look, we have so many hundreds of people coming here." No, it's for the glory of God. It's to promote the kingdom of God. I want to challenge you to be a kingdom builder. Everybody that gives to this church, you're supporting the Great Commission. We give into missions. We send people, you know, we do what we can with our missionaries. Places where we can't go, but they're going, we send them. We partner with them. Every missionary that we work with, my only requisite is that they have a personal relationship with here. So you're gonna see our missionaries at one point or another. Amen? So I want to encourage you, if Jesus is the Lord of the harvest, and he is, then in these next few weeks, I want you to sincerely pray about what your part in the harvest is. And if you don't know what to say, we can equip you. We can give you the basics. But you've got to be willing to go. You've got to be willing to share your faith. You've got to be able to handle rejection. "Well, I don't go because they're going to reject me." That's no excuse. Listen, there's people that we know. Maybe they're in dead churches. Maybe they're not even born. I know. You know, when we went out door to door, we went out to several places door to door. We encountered a lot of people who go to church but could not tell us how to get to heaven. We encountered a lot of people that didn't even know if they were going to heaven, but they'd been sitting in church for years. That's ridiculous. But Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Amen? Who's going to help me harvest? If it's in your heart to do your part for the harvest, I want you to stand up. You know, Todd preached a message about stand up and be counted. Amen? I want the Lord to see how serious you are. It's going to take commitment. It may mean that you may have to change some of your ways, some of the attitudes that you've been used to operating with people. Just like you got born again, someone told you, someone invited you, someone prayed for you. I want us to pray for people. Pray for the family members. Pray for friends, co-workers, and be a light. Amen? This is the day and the hour that we're living in. I don't want the devil to steal, kill, and to destroy for anybody in this place. Amen? And I'm a shepherd that I will lay my life down for the sheep. Because there are things, you know, there's a church in Palmyra that's not even a Christian church. They practice New Age. But yet, the other churches in Palmyra at one time made the leader of that church the head of the ministry organization where the churches work together. They're not even born again. I looked at what they believe. They believe that Jesus achieved a high degree of spirituality. There are churches that you know, listen, God knows how to bring everybody to the truth. I'm not here to knock churches because we work with a lot of churches. We worked with a church, United Zion, on when we hosted Todd Levin. Amen? We're all about working together. There are some you can work with and some you can't. But we're willing to work with the ones. But you know what? We've got to kick it up a notch. As a people, you need to pray. You need to ask God what he has for you. And then you need to be able to be willing and obedient to do what he tells you to do. Amen? So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray over this people today. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts of compassion, Father, for people who have no shepherd, who are wandering, and they're scattered, and they're not fulfilling their divine destiny, Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would open doors of opportunity for us to preach the gospel. Lord, I thank you that you empower us to live the gospel before others in the name of Jesus. And you know what? If someone close to you is not following God, that's no excuse for you to stop. You're responsible for your own self. Amen? And you've got to be committed. Even if no one is going to stand with you, you're going to stand with the Lord. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, you look at our hearts today. Lord, you know those who are committed to your cause. There is a cause. There is a cause that we have to fight. It's called the fight of faith. Some people's eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Their houses are on fire. And we need to be the ones to go in and to rescue them. Now, not everybody you're going to have to rescue from the fire. But there are those, there are some you're going to have to rescue from the fire. Others you're going to have to love in. You're going to have to be just as patient as God was with you, with them. And you're going to have to love them. You're going to have to stand in faith. You're going to have to pray for them. You're going to have to bring their name as a memorial before God. And don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. Be like a bulldog. And fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold to eternal life. There is a part that you have to play. I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God these coming weeks, what's your part? And I want you to be willing to do your part. Amen? We all got to work together. This is not a one-man show. In bringing in the harvest, we need every hand on deck. We need everybody doing their part. Young and old. Listen, teenagers, you got to reach out to your group. You got to share your faith with others. You don't have anything to be ashamed about. You have, God's done enough things for you that you can share with others, but you need to start sharing with others. Who else is going to reach your generation but you? Listen, when I was 12 years old, I was just newly born again. I had my first experience of casting a devil out of someone. It was me, my oldest sister, and her best friend, and this guy, we started to pray for him, and he started to convulse and shake, and his eyes rolled back into his head, and we started to pray for him on the church steps. And after about 15 minutes, his total countenance changed. His face prior to that was like dark, but you could see like his face had lit up. And that was my first experience of casting out a devil. So, you're going to pray. You're going to ask the Lord what your part is, then you're going to be willing to do your part, amen? And we are going to see the harvest come in. This is a storehouse. Praise God for this storehouse. Praise God. This is just a place where we can come together and we can worship the Lord. We can hear the word of God. We can minister to one another. We can use our gifts. This is a place where we get trained. But where the rubber meets the road is out there, beyond these four walls. And I believe that God's going to get the increase. I believe he's going to add to this church daily such as should be saved. I believe we're going to see an increase. Amen? Maybe you have to open up your home and invite your neighbors. And if you get a group of people of your neighbors, we'll gladly come and share the gospel if you're not comfortable. Amen? We'll gladly come and share. So, Father, we ask you to seal this word today. Lord, let us not be hearers of your word only, but let us be doers. We choose to do what you say today in the name of Jesus. We commit our way to you, Father, so that you can direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm done with the message, but if you're